the fucking best
girl gaming and anime podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 22. We're just gonna bring it.
We're just gonna bring it.
Yeah, because there's a few things that we're gonna be talking about in this episode, and I just couldn't narrow down a cute, clever name, so we're just gonna bring it.
Right on.
Yeah.
So, Ninja, what's the business this week?
The business, again, keeping it short for all of you wonderful, wonderful fresh peeps out there. You got to keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricityhood.com. If you want a short address, we now have esh.mobi, M-O-B-I. It's a new domain for mobile phone WAP access, so you can actually, on your little cellular phone, if you don't have full access to the internet, just the WAP stuff, you can go to esh.mobi, and it'll show you the little graphic that we made, and eventually we'll have some of the top posts on the website visible there, so you can get ESH goodness anytime, any place.
Cool.
Yes. But if you type esh.mobi, that's esh.mobi, into a browser in your computer, whatever, you know, Firefox, Internet Explorer, whatever you choose to use, it'll bounce you to the Electric Sisterhood website. So now, when you're telling your friends about us, rather than having to, you know, spell out Electric Sisterhood for them, you just say esh.mobi. It gets you to the same place.
And now you have no excuse not to come to our site.
That's
right. We're making it that easy.
We're making it that easy, people. We also are getting ready to do an update to the Freshware store. We have some new designs that we've been working on, and these ones we've actually, like, spent some serious thought and effort and time on. And
not that we didn't spend any time on the first bunch.
Oh, no, we spent time on the first bunch, but we really wanted to get the launch done and have some neat things for the first launch. Now we've been able to sit back and take some time and really think of some fun and clever things, so we have some new designs that we're about to unveil on the Cafe Press store. So keep an eye out for the post about it that will be on the website, so you too can have some fresh gear to be wearing during the fall semester, or
woo-hoo!
You know, just out because the shit's cool.
Because it's the fucking best shit ever.
Yeah, you heard what Pandalicious said, so.
Don't be a punk ass bitch.
I knew that was coming.
And buy our shit.
Yeah. But I love it when you say it, so I just can't stop you. I can't. I love you that much, sis.
Aww. I love you too, Ninja.
Aww. Okay. Which brings us to this week's candy bitch. Because we do have a candy bitch this week.
And who is it this week?
Drum roll, please. Amberjack! You got candy, bitch!
Yay, you've got candy before me.
It's coming. Look, the box, I got it right here. I'm going to put it in the mail, and you will have some of the candy. But Amberjack is also getting...
He's the winner.
Yeah,
he's the winner. He's the wiener.
Yeah, or she. I don't know if it's a dude
yeah,
or a girl.
Yeah, whoever.
But
you've got candy,
You've got
bitch.
Candy, bitch. We appreciate you hitting up the website on the regular and all that stuff. So enjoy the candy. It will be winging its way to you soon. I need you to do is hit up our website, click on the Hit Us Up link, and fill out the form so I can get your email address and your mailing address so I can put your candy in the mail to you.
Yay!
Yay! Oh, yay. All right, moving right along. One last thing before I hand you the mic. As people may know from visiting the website last week, we did an interview on the All Games radio show last Wednesday, and oh my gosh, it was so much fun.
It was really good.
Yeah, I had a ball. I don't know. Did you have a ball?
I had a ball.
Yeah, yeah. We even put a snippet of the show, basically just our segment, on the website, so if you missed it, you can check the archives and get it and download it. It's like a little bit less than a half hour, but it's funny as shit, and you could get to know us a little bit. They asked us some personal questions.
Yes.
Some stuff that we hadn't been volunteering on the regular, but we felt like sharing, so we did. Enjoy it. With that
said,
you
should go check it out.
Yeah. I'm going to hand the mic of a thousand truths to Pandalicious.
Oh.
Yeah, I've decided I'm going to start calling it that from now on.
You start calling it that?
Yeah. The All mic right. of a thousand truths.
Oh, wow. It's
Thank
tingling
you.
In my hand. Anyway, yeah, that's another podcast.
That's another podcast. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, so today I'm kind of I'm backing up. I'm taking a step back. You know, I know.
Okay, we get it. You're back.
I'm back. Backing up. Backing up.
Back and black. Back it up. Back it up.
That's
me. Back it up. Back it up. Sorry.
Even though Magic Mystic Girl had already done a little bit of a review on this, you know, that was written. So now you're actually going to hear it kind of vocalized, but with the panda spin on it.
Oh.
Because obviously, you know, how Magic will say things is not necessarily how I'm going to give it to you.
Ooh. Are you going to give it to him raw?
Well, why don't you just wait and find out?
Oh, I'm not good at being patient.
I know. But just stick. Hold on. Just hold on.
All right.
So.
I'll try.
This lovely series is well over 50 episodes. I haven't even finished watching it yet. I'm on the last DVD as we speak. I'll probably watch the last 4 episodes after we're done recording this. It is addicting. Though I have to say,
what
this is...
What is it?
I'm going to tell you.
Well, I told you I'm bad at being patient.
It's called Full Moon, for short. Oh. Technically, Full Moon Wo Shagashite, but I think I butchered that really bad. So I'm just going to call it Full Moon.
Shagashite?
Yeah, it's a big word, which kind of in translated means searching for a full moon.
Okay.
So you get this main character, and her name's Mitsu. Crap. How do I pronounce that? Mitsuki. There it is. See, I got it.
Okay.
And she's this cute, bubbly, very, you know, high-spirited, strong-willed 12-year-old girl.
Right.
You know, but she's got a problem, you see. She has throat cancer.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's her life's dream to become a singer.
Oh, no.
She wants to sing. You know, and, you know, you kind of see her and she's in her room and she's singing softly because she can't sing loud because it disturbs the tumor in her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes her pain. You know, and she lives with her grandmother because both of her parents have passed away. And her grandmother is like, I can't stand music. Music is horrible. You should not be, you know, thinking about music. You should be, you know, focusing on your health and, you know, all of that. So, you know, her grandmother's not very supportive. You know, and you come across one night that these two mystical, magical beings show up to her one night. And they're Shinigami, which I don't know if you know what those are. They're like angels of death.
Okay.
And a boy and a girl. The boy's name is Takto, and the girl's name is Miroko. Miroko. And they have come to monitor Mitsuki for the next year because she's going to die. And it is their job to retrieve her soul when her time is up. And there's to make sure that she doesn't die before they are supposed to take her soul.
Aww.
So, and she's 12. So, you know, and they... And Takto has little cat ears, you know, and kind of has that whole, yeah, I'm a Shinigami and I'm going to do my job, kind of feel, you know. And Miroko's like, oh, I'm a cute bunny and I've got long pink hair and I'm in love with Takto and everything is so great. And I'm the senior of this, you know, operation and I know what I'm doing.
Right.
You know, so she's got that kind of, you know, attitude, you know. And, you know, Mitsuki's like, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die. But she's like, I have to do something first. I can't die without doing this one thing, you know. And they're all like, well, what is it? And she's like, I want to become a singer. She's like, she had been going through auditions, and she made it to a callback.
Okay.
But on the application for the callback, she said that she was 16. Now, mind you, she's 12, so she doesn't look like she's 16.
Right.
You know, and Takto figures, okay, he's like, we can humor her because, you know, worst case scenario, she thinks she's gonna be this great singer, you know, and we'll help her get there, and she won't do very well, and then she'll just, you know, relax with the idea that we've come to take her soul. So, you know, so he's like, all right. So he goes and he changes her into, you know, a 16-year-old girl.
Okay.
You know, for this audition. And when she's a 16-year-old girl, I'm sorry, she's healthy.
Okay.
So she has
full voice.
No throat cancer.
Right.
Yes, and she can sing. So so they get to the audition, she dyes her hair, so her hair is now blonde.
Okay.
You know, and she's in, you know, in waiting. She's like number 21, I believe. You know, and she's just so she's ready to sing, and she gets up there and she sings, and it's this beautiful song. Like, they actually got voice actors from Japan who could actually, you know, sing.
Right.
And she nails it. And they're like, oh my God, this girl has an amazing voice. We have to sign her. So now these Shinigami are like, crap, she's going to become an idol. And
yeah, but, what are we but that's do? Not that's not bad because, you know, at least she can, like, live out her dream of being a singer, you know, over the year before they have to take her soul. So that's not too bad.
In a sense, that's very true. But you find out slowly as the episodes go on that there's more of an agenda going on. You find out that Mitsuki promised this boy when she was younger, because she fell in love with this boy who's 6 years older than her. That, you know, they would strive for their dreams, and once they, you know, conquered their dreams, that they would meet again, and they'd be able to be together and be in love.
Uh-oh.
And his name is, yeah, it's his name's Ichi, or Eche, technically, because right. Ichi kind of means, you know, something bad.
Yeah.
It sounds like porn. But, no, and he wants...
like porn.
It probably could be, but but I mean, he wanted to be an astronomer, and they met because when Mitsuki's parents passed away, you know, she hadn't gone to live with her grandmother straight away because there was a falling out between, you know, the married couple and the grandmother. So she was
isn't
in
that always the way in anime.
It is, and you know, so Mitsuki's in this orphanage when she's young, and she meets Echikun there. You know, and she's, you know, a lot younger than him. I think he was like 12, you know, and she's like 6, you know, and he's all like, oh, he's like, I love the stars and I love the moon. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be an astronomer, you know, and she would sing when she was younger. And he honestly did fall in love with her. It wasn't like one of those, you know, yeah, I'm 12 and I have hormones and yeah, I kind of love you. Like right. He really did. He was actually kind of a pussy. He was just like, Mitsuki, I love you. You know, 12-year-old boys don't say that. But anyway...
No, they don't.
In the magical world of Full Moon, they do. You know, and he's like, he gets adopted. And he goes to America. Okay. You know, and that's when they make the promise, you know, to strive for their dreams so that they can meet up when they were older.
Okay.
So, it's been about 2 years.
Okay.
So, all right, so she was like 10. All right. And,
So what was his dream?
So his dream was to become an astronaut or astronomer. He wanted to do something with the stars and the moon.
Okay.
Like he was obsessed with it.
Okay.
And she wanted to sing.
Uh-huh.
So there are the dreams. So we know what they're striving for.
Right.
And so you see her, she's 12, you know, and now she's being confronted with the idea that, you know, she's going to die. And, you know, these guardians help her and... I just blanked.
It happens.
It does. It totally does.
Yeah. This is what happens when you don't have enough caffeine, people. I can't
yeah,
stress
I'm sorry,
this enough.
Guys.
Drinkcocaine.com. That's all I'm saying.
So
seriously,
yeah.
Before you continue, if there's anybody out there that has some of this cocaine energy drink and you seriously want to, like, hook a sister up, hit us up on the website, on the hit us up link on the form, and let me know, and I will send you an address that you can send me some cocaine, and I will send you some candy.
Oh, wow.
I will send you a larger than normal bag of ESH candy.
Wow.
It's okay, so I'm just letting you know right now. Okay, and this is open to anybody, so previous candy bitches included.
Wow, she really wants that cocaine.
I want some of this shit. But I don't want it bad enough to pay $100 for it.
Wow.
Which is what it's going for on eBay. I was like, what?
Wow.
I was like, I don't want it that bad. But bigger than normal bags of candy, people. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Drinkcocaine.com. Okay. Or if the drinkcocaine.com people just want to send me some, I will gladly promote it on the website. I want some of this stuff. All right, go ahead.
All right, so we've got our dreams, we've got our cast, pretty much.
Right.
And then, you know, like I said, you're seeing more and more. You're seeing bits and pieces falling into place. You know, so she's going through the whole idol business. She's doing the photo shoots. Now, mind you, you know, Tato turns her into a 16-year-old girl.
Right.
So when she's done doing her job, you know, she's back to being 12.
Right.
And mind you, she's
and
not
sick.
That's right. She's got cancer. So keep that in mind, because half the way through this, you're like, wow, she's doing so well. Oh, wait, she has cancer. So, like, they always, you got to keep that in mind, because you start
feeling. That's got to be such, like, such a letdown, because you're getting so excited, because you're like, oh, look, she's got the photo shoot, she's singing, and everybody likes her song.
Man.
And
no,
then, the little 12-year-old girl, she's going to die. She's got throat cancer.
That's
already predetermined.
It is.
She's going to die.
And it's really sad, because, like I said, these angels, pretty much, in a sense, you know, have to keep her alive until it's time for them to take her soul.
This is so sad.
So, like, they're
I didn't get any of this feeling out of the thing that Magic wrote, don't get me wrong. But I was just like, I didn't realize that it was that sad.
Oh, it is. It is, you know, because you see her working so hard, and you see her, she's like, and, you know, and through being an idol, she's like, great, now, you know, Ichikun's going to hear my songs, and he's going to come and find me.
Oh, no.
And hopefully, so that's what she's striving for. And Takuto, the angel who turns her into a, you know, when he finds out that, you know, she's singing because she made a promise to this boy, at first he gets really mad, and he gets kind of jealous, and you actually start seeing that he's got this romantic interest in Mitsuki. You know, and Mitsuki's all, Ichikun, 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 you know, and it keeps kind of stabbing him in the back, you know, so there's a lot of pain going on, you know, and Mariko is actually really in love with Takuto, and Takuto's just like, yeah, I know, but I don't feel that way, so, like, there's all this pain circulating in this really cute-styled anime, so, you know.
Wait, so basically it's a Midsummer's Night Dream, but with cancer?
But with cancer.
That's so wrong.
So you get halfway through, you know, and she's battling through the industry. So, you know, at one point she doesn't want to sing this song that her producer writes. And she's like, can I write my own song? So she writes one, and it's a hit. You know, and they're like, that doesn't usually happen. You know, and she's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, I love this, you know, and Echikun's going to hear these songs. You know, and her name, her stage name is Full Moon.
Uh-huh.
Mitsuki actually means full moon in Japanese.
Okay.
So, you know, playing on words here, trying to pull his attention overseas, you know, because if she got popular enough to get her songs over to America, he'd
find her.
That's right.
I'm going to need a tissue.
Think. Or so you think. So, you know, and she builds up and she makes all these friends. She gets the producer. She has a doctor who's been watching her throat cancer forever. And you find out that he actually was in a band with her dad.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, like, there's music everywhere in this series. You know, and you find out that, you know, there was a song that she wanted to sing that she found out her dad wrote. And it's called Eternal Snow. And actually, if you know, if you get your music illegally, you could find this song. And for those of us who don't do it illegally,
because we don't want to promote any illegal activity on this podcast.
That's right. So,
especially since it's being featured through the iTunes Music Store, which is all
that's
about
right.
Legally
that's
purchasing
right.
and procuring so
guys,
music.
That's right. So try to go find this on iTunes.
Yes.
What's
the song name again?
Eternal Snow.
Okay. Do you know who it's by?
No, because in the anime, Mitsuki sings it.
Okay.
So whoever is the voice character.
Check out the J-pop section. If you're in the U.S., to try and find it, because there's a lot of J-pop actually available to us over here in the U.S. There's some that is actually listed in the iTunes store, but we can't actually buy it because it's through their store.
Yeah.
It's weird. But check it and see.
But check it out. And it's a beautiful song. It's slow, but it's so, it's sad.
It's a ballad?
It is.
Okay.
It is a ballad.
That's
all I have to say. I listen to it every day. But, because I'm psychotic.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, anyway, you know, and everything seems to be going, you know, well for her. You know, she handles adversity pretty well. You know, because it's, you know, the pop business, the rock business, the singing business isn't easy for anyone.
Pimping ain't easy.
That's right.
It's hot out there for a pimp.
But mind you. So, she's working hard, and she's doing, you know, real well, you know, and she gets her doctor, because at first her doctor doesn't want her to sing, you know, because it's hurting her, but then she tells him, but she tells him that she has these angels who turn her into a healthy 16-year-old girl, and at first he doesn't believe it, no lie.
What doctor would? I've got
That's
angels
right.
that turn me into a sexy, healthy 16-year-old girl that can sing.
Yeah, exactly. But she actually has them turn her into it while she's with him so that he has to adjust to it. And obviously her manager, because she has this really nice manager who's actually quite eccentric.
Uh-huh.
You know, they and
there
they
has
show
to be
her.
A character. I've just about decided that every planning committee, whenever they're getting together to do an anime, always goes, okay, well, who can we make the eccentric character? Because they have to have one. Even if it's a serious subject. Like, oh, I don't know, throat cancer in a child. We still need to have some oddball, off-the-wall character.
We do. Just so to lessen the blow. But let me tell you, they get you to a point where you're comfortable, and then if you have nuts, they kick you there. Really, really hard.
Oh, not my nuts.
Yeah, you're,
you know,
yeah.
I'm very protective about my nuts and being kicked in
me
them.
Too. But,
And
you know,
according
and
to the emails that I get on a daily basis, I should also be curious about, you know,
penis
my penis.
Enlargement?
Yeah, and that I'm not satisfying my girl.
Oh, wow.
I don't know why that bitch is running her mouth anyway. You know, she doesn't say anything when we're in the bedroom. But, oh, no, she tell all her friends in the damn emails, and then they got to email me back.
Ninja, that's another podcast, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Let's save that for ESH
after
midnight.
Dark, yeah. My bad.
But, so you see her striving, you see her working, and you see this bond of friendship coming between her and the Shinigami. And you kind of see that, you know, Takto's kind of feeling on her. And in a sense, I think she's kind of slightly flirting back. But remember, she's been in love with Ichikun since she was, like, really, really young. You know, and they finally get to a point where she can do some work overseas in America. And they go over to America. And they find a lead as to where he is. And they're like, oh, my God. You know, she's finally going to meet him, you know. And it Takto at one point's like, well, no, obviously I'm not in her heart that way, but I hope this guy is worth it. You know, and they find out where he is, and Takto goes flying over to this place before they get there. And he gets into Echikun's room, and it's bare. And he's like, I feel the coldness of death in this room. What's happened?
Oh, fuck.
You know, and he goes down to the living room, and he hears these two people talking. And you find out that 2 years ago, Ichikun and his adopted parents were in a car accident. So he's dead.
Motherfucker. I hate that shit.
You know, and Mitsuki's on her way, and she's all excited because she's like, oh, I'm going to see him. And, you know, and you know, Takto doesn't want her to go there because he knows it's gonna kill her. You know, and he flies back to the car, and he actually damages the tires. You know, and Mitsuki gets out, and she can see, because, like, I think they were going by, oh, you can see this giant elm tree, and that's the estate that he lived on. You know, and she could see the elm tree from where she's standing, you know, and she's walking, and he's like, you don't want to go there. Turn back, please. I'm begging you. And she's like, every time I bring him up, you get all moody, blah, 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 blah. I don't understand, blah, blah. You know, and as she gets closer, she starts running, you know, and you, the watcher, know what's going to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, and you kind of go, you want to go at the screen, oh, God, don't go there, don't go there, don't. You know, and she goes in, you know, and these two parents, you know, these two adults are like, who are you? You know, it's like, oh, my name's Mitsuki. I came to see Ichikun. You know, and they're all like, oh, honey. You know, and they break it to her, and it devastates her. Because, you know, whenever, like, characters get dazed in animes, their eyes glaze over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they look, like, lifeless. You know, and she just breaks down, like, utterly. You know, and her manager and her doctor are there, and they're trying to console her, and she just completely shuts down. You know, and the grandparents, you find out that the two people who were talking were the parents of the husband and wife who adopted Ichikun. And they're like, yeah, we come up here every year to, you know, to commemorate them because of their passing. You know, and apparently before all this happened, Ichikun wrote Mitsuki a letter.
Uh-oh.
And they give Mitsuki the letter.
Uh-oh.
And she's reading it, you know, because she kind of, like, passes out, you know, and...
Well,
I
would too.
Yeah. The bad news on them is that they had her go rest in Ichikun's room. You know, so, like, talk
Aww.
About, you know, it kicks you in the balls.
My nuts!
You know, and you feel bad. You know, and she does that whole, like, zombie wander thing, and she ends up finding the graveyard where he is. And she's like, And she curls down on the grave and she's all like, so this is where you've been. You know, no wonder why you couldn't come to find me.
Oh,
you
know, and it's Pete's
it,
sake.
And I'm tearing up just thinking about it because I can picture it in my mind. You know, and she lays down on top of this grave and she's like,
oh,
you should come
no.
and get me. You know, I'm ready. You know, I've been waiting for you. Just come and get me and take me away from this. So in a sense, she begins to stop functioning. You know, and Takuto's like, you can't let this happen to you. He's like, this was your dream. You know, like singing and whatnot, because she loved to sing, regardless of Echkun, she loved to sing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she's all like, full moon's gone. She's like, I sang so that Echkun could find me, and he can't find me from where he is. You know, like, she's just so,
she gave up.
Horrible. Yeah. You know, and he's all like, you know, if I have to change you into the other you, I will. And he goes to try to change her, and she can't. And he's like, what on earth is going on? And, you know, Mariko is just kind of like, if she doesn't want to change, she won't. And she's like, I'm giving up on singing. She's like, I'm done. And she completely shuts down. You know, and because she's being haunted by that, her death becomes, it seems like her death is going to come faster because Mariko has this book. And when things are going to happen in Mitsuki's life that could hasten her death, it's their job to prevent it.
Uh-huh.
So you find out that, you know, Ichikun's name was written in the book, and they couldn't figure out why, because he's dead. But she's holding on to his memory, and she stops eating, and she stops going out, you know, and she's wasting away. You know, and while this is all going on, you know, while they're going through the whole, you know, rock industry, Takuto, you know, is beginning to remember his memories from being human. Because Shinigami were humans.
Right.
The whole point of being one is your memories get sealed away.
Please tell me that Takuto is not Ichikun.
No.
Okay.
Nope. No, it wouldn't have worked that way. But,
And that would be the reason why he wanted to be in her heart. I was like, oh, don't tell me.
No. But you find out,
I can't
out,
take out
actually,
any more twists and
wait,
turns.
Wait, I'm not even done yet. There's still a couple more.
Oh, God.
So you find out, you know, that he's starting to regain these memories. And Mariko's been trying to tell him not to. Because when you do remember your memories as a human, you become a ghost. And you lose all your abilities as a Shinigami, and you wander the earth lonely forever. And
uh-oh.
She doesn't want that to happen to Takuto. But you find out, because he slowly begins to remember them throughout the episodes, that he used to be a singer. He used to be a musician.
Uh-oh.
And then he becomes, oh, well, he starts getting flashes of, you know, his life when he was alive. And you find out he was the lead singer for Mitsuki's dad's band.
Oh, for Christ's sake!
And the song that she sang that her father wrote, Takuto used to sing.
Oh, for the love of
He's
Pete.
He's human. He got throat cancer.
Oh, come on!
And he and his doctors told him, because he was singing even with it. And his doctor's like, if you keep doing this, surgery's not even going to help you. You won't be able to speak. But he didn't care. And he was performing one night, and his throat completely gave out. And he got booed off stage. And he got so depressed, he got onto his bike, and he was driving on this mountain in the rain. And it slipped, and he fell off a cliff, and he died.
Oh, my God.
And that's how he starts to remember. And at the point where he remembers it, you know, Mitsuki still isn't eating, you know, and she's still not really acting out of anything, you know, and he's trying to convince her. He's like, you don't want to die having regrets. He's like, I regret the fact that I wanted to die back then. I should have fought on. You know, and you shouldn't be doing that. And I mean, he is begging her, you know, and I'm crying at this episode. I think this is like episode like 48, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, my heart can't take it anymore. And it couldn't.
God.
It couldn't. You know, our poor mother was sitting in her chair, and she's like, what the hell are you crying about? And I'm like, Mom, you don't understand. You don't understand. You know, and, you know, before Mariko teamed up with Takuto, she worked with another Shinigami.
Uh-huh.
And he's a douchebag. I'm going to call him Iki for short, because he's got a weird name.
Okay.
And but his first few letters are I-K-U, so I'm just gonna say Iku.
Okay.
And he's an ass. You know, he's all pompous, like, yeah, I'm a Shinigami, and I know what I do, what. You know, I'm in love with Mariko, and, you know, I'm gonna get back with her once I fucking get rid of Takuto. No. So Mirko is upset because she realizes that Takuto is in love with Mitsuki.
Uh-huh.
And she can't get in between that. She just can't. You know, so she goes back to Iki. You know,
Iku.
And she's, yes, Iku. You know, and she's all just like, he's like, I don't know what to do, you know, and this poor girl, she's suffering so much, and I feel bad that we have to keep her alive until, she, you know, her time. And he's all like, you know, if you really want, he's like, I can go and do the soul retrieval for you. You know, and in her moment of weakness, she tells him yes. So he goes after Mitsuki to take her soul, you know, and he's an ass, you know, and he uses all these illusions to get her because she's in a hospital, you know, and he's like, you know, do you want to go to where, you know, where Ichikun and your parents are, you know, they're on the moon, you know, and she's 12 and she's dazed and she's heartbroken and she's wishing for death, you know, and he's preparing to give it to her, but, you know, he's trying to get her to walk all the way up to this roof of the hospital so that she'll jump off.
Oh, for
and
the
die.
Love of Pete.
You know, and as she, you know, as he's leading her, you know, and you could see that he's got her. You know, but the grandmother wakes up because the grandmother's at the hospital. And she notices that Mitsuki's not in bed, so she starts running, you know, trying to find her. And she finds her at the last minute, and she's like, you can't give up on life yet. You know, and mind you, and she's like, this whole time you've been telling me to listen to your song, and I haven't done it yet. Do you want to die without me listening to it? You know, and she's and Mitsuki starts, you know, regaining herself. You know, and then Iku's like, man, am I going to have to push her? So, you know, he summons this wind gust to just push her. And you see Mitsuki falling backwards, and you totally think she's going to, you know, either Takuto's going to come in and save her, or she's going to fall. You know, but luckily enough, Super Grandma, and mind you, she's old, you know, she latches onto her, and she pulls her up.
Nana to the rescue!
Nana to the rescue. You know, pulls her up, and gets her back onto the roof, and they're breathing, and everything's great. Niku gets pissed, and he pushes the grandmother off.
Oh, for fuck's sake!
Yeah, but we're not done yet, because Takuto then comes in and saves Grandma.
Oh, Jesus, you know, Christ.
You know, and then Mirko comes up and she's like, Iku, I don't want you doing that anymore. You know, I had a moment of weakness, but I can't do that to Mitsuki. I can't do that to Takuto. You know, and this is when Takuto starts telling, you know, Mitsuki that she can't give up on singing. She can't give up on love yet. And because she'll die regretting stuff, and he didn't want her to do that. And as he's doing that, he's starting to be engulfed by black light because he's becoming a ghost. And he's like, if becoming a ghost will help her realize that she's meant to sing, then I'll do it. You know, and it's all valor and awe. And I mean, oh, it's so touching. It is so touching. You know, and I can't go in. And I can't go into any more because that's the last episode that I watched.
Well, good, because I don't think I can take any more.
But so far, guys, I have to say, I mean, this would tug on, you know, girls' heartstrings a little bit more than boys. But still, if you're a fan of a really good story, then you might be able to overlook how cutesy it's drawn and realize just how dark it actually is.
All right, so what would you give it?
I would have to say, see, now I don't have the candy ratings in front of me.
Just a number. We'll worry about colors later, but
I would have to say, a 4 out of 5, because I haven't seen the ending yet, so I don't know if it's going to leave me hanging like a lot of animes do.
Oh, no, not anime.
So I can't fully say 5 out of 5 because I don't know how it ends yet.
Okay.
But that's all I've got for you guys today. And now I'm going to hand the mic of 1,000 truths back to you, Ninja. What are you going to do with it? What?
I have the mic. And I shall use it to slay the lives of 1,000 men. No.
Wow.
I know. I've had a little bit too much time to think about this. Basically, I just have a couple of things that I want to talk about. To talk with all of you friends of ours out there. As you know, I tried to get a PS3 pre-order desperately. It didn't work. I was not shattered by this, but I was a little disappointed that I wasn't able to at least get a pre-order at one of the stores that I went to. But because you know how much I love bashing Sony, basically they make it just too easy.
They do make it easy.
So, last week, one of the Sony execs out of Australia, Michael Ephraim, or Ephraim, I don't know how he pronounced it. I'm going to call him Ephraim. I'm going to call him Michael. Your mama named you Michael. I'm going to call you Michael. screamed out, "Hello, Microsoft and Nintendo. You're black." And then went on to go and basically say that the Wii and the 360 are too pricey.
What?
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, you must not have talked with corporate, because especially in the U.S., the PlayStation 3 is much more pricey than the Wii and the 360. You can buy a Wii and a 360 and, you know, pay about the same as you would for a PS3. So, I'm not exactly sure what you're talking about. Now, you have to keep in mind that electronics, the systems cost more over in Australia than they do here. So, I think, like, the Wii in Australia is going to be, like, $300 or somewhere between $300 or $400. I can't remember exactly what it breaks down to, roughly U.S. But, at the same time, that doesn't mean that the Sony box is going to be any less. So, of course, it's going to cost more as well. So, as far as scale goes, there's no way that you can rationally make an argument that the Wii is too pricey for any market.
Lame.
Okay, so then it gets better. After the whole blogosphere grabs a hold of the comment and runs rampant with it, okay, he does decides to, quote-unquote, set the record straight and does another interview. But what he said was even more retarded.
What did he say? What did he say?
Okay, so he goes, well, you know, look at it like this. You know, coming from the Sony standpoint, you know, sorry that you don't have the opportunity to buy a PS3 this year, but I'm sure it beats lining up in a queue for hours on end only to be told the store has sold out. Now, here's the thing. People are going to be standing in lines, also known as a queue, trying to get pre-orders for the systems. Been there, done that. Told that the store was sold out. People are going to be lined up on day one, hoping that there will be some extra boxes outside of the pre-order boxes so that they could get one of those. And there, too, are going to be told that, that the store has sold out of them. So there's this one site that basically broke the quote down and was like, okay, so basically what he's saying is, so not having the opportunity to buy the PS3 this Christmas is better than not having the opportunity to buy a PS3 this Christmas? What the fuck? And so the guy goes, yeah, this man's really earning his salary.
Wow, what a douchebag.
Okay, I mean, for instance, as you know, the Wii pre-orders went out last Friday. GameStop, EB, started taking them. They ran out of pre-orders for the Wii faster than they ran out of pre-orders for the PS3. And they had more pre-order allotments for the Wii than they did for the PS3.
Holy poop.
I myself sent out a minion to try and procure for me.
You summoned a minion?
I did summon a minion. To try and procure for me, because I really didn't feel like getting up again just to be, you know, told, no ma'am, I'm sorry. So I sent a minion out to do my bidding to try and get me a pre-order for a Wii. Now, this minion of mine was in line very early and waited and waited and waited and was 36 in line. There were 35 pre-orders.
Oh!
So...
Wow.
Yeah, I'm bummed about it, because I really wanted the Wii. Okay, the PS3 would have been nice. I wasn't really broken up about it when I didn't get it, but...
Not to mention it would cost you what?
$100 for the pre-order.
Damn!
Yeah, anybody doing a pre-order for the PS3 had to chunk down $100.
Woo! Okay. Yeah, fuck that.
as far as the Wii went, you could actually trade in games towards your reserve of the system for the Wii.
Awesome.
You can't do that with a PS3.
Of course not.
No, that's
God forbid they make things easy.
That's just cold hard cash, baby. You got to pony up to play if you want to experience the potential.
Hell no. Don't so think
I was,
so.
I was disappointed in that, but I am focusing on getting my DS Lite finally. So that at least was a comfort to me. So I will be picking that up shortly. But I just think it's great that the Wii pre-orders are much more than they expected, which I'm kind of surprised that they didn't expect them to be huge. Everybody's been hyping the Wii. Since
hyping
E3.
The Wii!
Hyper Wii! Wii! But seriously, everybody's been hyping the Wii since E3. Okay, every time I've mentioned something about Sony, I've also had to mention something that's come out of the Nintendo camp because they're doing something else interesting. Between the Mii channel, the browser, then the rumors that, you know, the OS for the Wii is actually going to be open source Linux.
Whee!
Okay, which means any of the Linux heads out there, since it's open source, that means that you'd be able to do your own homebrew and not void your warranty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because they're doing open source, Nintendo has said that they'll be able to upgrade the OS constantly through downloads. So they'll constantly be adding new features, even after you've bought the system, and new abilities for the hardware in the box when you have the system. That's big.
That is big.
Okay, because it might not be able to do something right now, but who's to say 6 months from now there won't be an update that will let you do that, that Nintendo will download to your box while you're not home.
Right.
You know, wow. So... There are all kinds of interesting and, I think, forward-thinking things going on with Nintendo as opposed to Sony, who just seems to be in the mindset of this is what we're going to give you, this is what we have, and you're going to want it. And you're going to pay what we say you're going to pay because you're going to want it because you know that we said you want it.
Fuck them.
And I'm just like, okay, I mean, seriously, Blu-ray player, it's nice. You know the setup that I have. I have a nice setup as far
yes,
as my entertainment
do.
System goes.
I wish I could have had your old TV. Damn!
I do have a nice setup, okay? And I don't have a Blu-ray player. I wasn't planning on getting a Blu-ray player. I had no intentions. I've known about Blu-ray and HDVD for a long time. I had no intentions of getting either one of these setups, okay? Because I don't have anything that makes me just desire Blu-ray. The two demos that I've seen of Blu-ray content, it's not all that much better than the existing DVD content. Okay, if you just have, in all honesty, if you have a TV that's 27 inches or smaller, you're not really going to see much of a difference between high-definition DVD and the DVD stuff that you have now. You're not going to see it.
Okay.
So why are you going to pay $700 for a player that you're not going to see a difference in? So I wasn't in any kind of rush. So when Sony said that their machine was going to use the Blu-ray player, I thought, well, if it's going to allow them to bring higher-definition games and more badass games, then okay, fine, I'll buy into it for that. But I'm not going to buy into it because it's going to be this great media player. Because it's, from what I've seen, not. Okay? And the fact that they're having problems with the lasers. And they're the only one making the lasers. So now there's a shortage of Blu-ray. Which is part of the reason why they had to cut back on the amount of systems that were going to be available for launch. Just sends up flags to me that Blu-ray is not ready for prime time. And if that's what you're backing your machine on, instead of the cell processor. Because have you heard anybody talking about the cell processor?
Nope.
Okay, everyone's talking about, oh, Blu-ray. The thing that should be impressive about the PS3 is the processing architecture. And if it actually works. And not the Blu-ray. The Blu-ray should be secondary. So to me, it just says that they've either had to switch their thoughts because the cell processor isn't delivering yet what they hope it will be. And again, that comes back to the whole potential thing. Or they just think that getting people to buy into this as a media playing device and a gaming thing secondary will help people suck up the $600 price tag. And I think both of those are just bogus, immature, and, you know, not forethinking ways to attack the market.
Mm.
Whereas Nintendo goes, our box is going to be fun.
It does sound like a lot of fun.
And it's going to be cheaper. We're going to give you a game, just like, you know, the Nintendo game console when I first got it. Remember the first NES system that we got? It was a bundled system. So you got the console, you got the laser gun for Duck Hunt, and you got that cartridge that had Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt on it, all in one box. You didn't have to go hunt for a game. You didn't have to hunt for the gun peripheral. Everything you needed was in the one box for one price.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Well, that's the same way that they're doing with the Wii. When you buy a Wii, you're going to get the remote controller and the Nunchaku adapter. You're going to get a copy of Wii Sports and the box.
Right.
And, you know, and be able to game right off the bat. It's got the built-in Wi-Fi, so if you've got a Wi-Fi network going on at home, you plug in your Wii, it'll find your network, and boom, you're off and running. Start downloading Donkey Kong now. You know, it's just progressive thinking on Nintendo's part. And I know that it's happened mostly because they were trailing in every aspect of the game market, with the exception of the handheld market, because Nintendo has dominated the handheld market. I think that they will continue to dominate the handheld market, because the PSP is just bogus. Okay? Like I said, I'm about to buy a DS Lite. I have a PSP. I never use it.
It's I know.
Great, it's a great
I
screen.
You used it a little bit when you came by.
Yeah. It's a great screen. Okay? I mean, everything that you look at, it looks beautiful on it. It's a nice sound system. It's an easy-to-use interface. I don't fucking use it.
That's sad.
And it still costs more than a DS Lite, even though they reduced the price. And they're not reducing it anymore for the holiday season. And I'm just like, are you fucking retarded? Seriously, are you I mean, the holiday season's coming up. If you want to stand any chance against the DS Lite, because there is a rumor that you're going to be able to use your DS Lite somehow in conjunction with the Wii. I don't know if it's going to be like, you know, being able to access some part of a game that, you know, doesn't exist, like with Animal Crossing and a Game Boy Advance, so you can get to this other island that you can't get to otherwise and do stuff on there and have a house and meet the person that lives on the island or whatever. So I don't know if it's going to be that kind of thing or not, but you're going to be able to use your DS Lite. Then there's some things that say that you'll be able to download, you know, a demo from your Wii to your DS Lite or DS Fat, if you have a fatty, of demos of games for the DS Lite. So you get home and there's a new demo for some new Super Paper Mario game for the DS Lite. You turn on your DS Lite and they connect over the Wi-Fi and boom, it puts that demo on your thing and you can try it out and decide if it's a game you want to buy.
Oh, geez.
You know, again, it's forward thinking. Now, I know that Nintendo was kind of backed into the corner because, again, like I said, they were kind of the low man on the totem pole when it comes to the console thing because the GameCube really didn't take off the way they wanted to. So I don't know if it was, you know, forced forward thinking or if it's just a result of if we're really going to take back this dominance thing in this market, maybe
check
this is the way we need
dominance.
To go. So I think it's going to be interesting, and even though I said this was going to be a short thing, I've been thinking about it a lot the past couple of days with the pre-order things going down this week and just seeing that there seems to be more desire for the Nintendo box than the Sony box, and that should really tell Sony something.
It means they fucked up!
Well, it means that they fucked up, and it means that what they need to do is between now
fix it.
And launch date is try to fix it. And I don't think they're going to do it because I don't think they know where to start. In all honesty, I don't know what I would suggest for them to start at to try and fix. They can't really lower the prices of the boxes because they can't afford to lose any more money on those boxes than they're already losing. So
right.
A price drop isn't feasible and isn't going to happen. They can't charge any less for the games because the game developers need to get their cut.
Right.
Because of all the resources that they're having to allocate to create games on the platform. All the developers say it's much more difficult to develop games on a PS3 kit than any of the other kits out there.
Why?
It's hard. I mean, you know, a lot of developers, when you're going from developing a game for the PC and the code base for the PC, just like for the code base for the Mac. They're completely different. And so that's why you don't see as many games on the Mac, because developers just choose to not devote the resources into recompiling or redesigning their code to put it on the other platform for what they feel is not a big enough market to warrant a good enough return. So that's why you don't see a lot of games ported to the Mac. Most of the games that you see ported to the Mac are games that are very, very popular, that the developers have enough, I don't want to say superfluous, but extra money floating around that, yeah, okay, it would be beneficial to us to have all of the computing marketing playing this game. So your games, you know, exactly. Your WoWs, your Evercrafts, your Sims, your Neverwinter Nights, those types of games. You'll find on both platforms. Yeah. You'll find those on both platforms. Okay, but you'll find a lot of developers who are just like, you know, it's very easy for us to create a game for the PC architecture and we're just going to stay there. Like the folks that do City of Heroes, City of Villains. They've always said from the time that the game came out, we are not going to do a Mac port. It's not going to happen. And so you have that same thought process, then go, okay, well, we've got these games now on the PCs. What consoles can we afford to bring them to devote the time and the resources to, that'll be worth our while? And a lot of times what they'll say is, okay, well, we should bring it to the Microsoft box because that will allow us to implement something on Xbox Live part of the game, which is the reason why you bring a game to the Microsoft box, is so that you can do an online component. Because for all the things that don't work on Xbox Live, it is still one of the easier ways to get online gaming with multiple players going and have some interaction. I still don't know of any of the people that I play games with that do any gaming online whatsoever on the PlayStation side of things.
Nope, because it costs money.
Okay, I don't... Well, it costs money on the Xbox side of things, too. And if you want to be able to talk to people within a game and all that kind of good stuff, you still got to pony up money. You gotta go for the Xbox Live Gold package, which will cost you $50 for the year. But it's for the year.
Right, so that's not bad.
And then if you get the Xbox Gold, you can sign up for their Diamond Card and get that free, and you can get some, like, you know, discounted pizza or free pizza and some discounted clothes. So it's not like they don't throw you at least a little bit of a bone. You know, you get a little cool-ass card, and it has your gamer tag name on it and stuff. You'd be like, I'm a Diamond player, bitch! Mine's coming. It's gone to printing. I already got the email, so I'm like, yeah! But they'll go, okay, we can bring it to the Microsoft boxes, and that won't be too big of a port because it's the same code base, so it's not that difficult to take existing code and bring it to the Microsoft box, which is why you see a lot of PC titles now coming to the Xbox 360.
Right.
Being ported over, even though there's still a little bit of an extra step because it is using a PowerPC chip. So there's still a little bit, but more and more of them are being ported over from that architecture to this one. And then they go, okay, well, now we need to choose between Sony and Nintendo. And unfortunately, Nintendo lost out on their previous box on the GameCube because they just didn't sell a lot of them. So a lot of developers went, well, we'll bring out some games that we think will reach the market that the GameCube actually reaches, which was kind of that preteen market. Right. And, you know, if we have a little extra time and money, we'll float them a bone and we'll bring over one of our flagship games. But, you know, for the most part, most of the games that came out on the GameCube were kind of kidsy games because developers didn't want to invest in bringing their powerhouse A games over. And then they'll bring their A games to the PS2 because it has a huge market share.
Okay. All right, I can follow that. I can dig it.
And so, but now I think what you're going to see happen is the opposite is going to happen. A lot of developers are going, oh my gosh, it's so easy for us to develop games for the Wii box. It doesn't take as much effort as it's taking now to develop stuff for the PS3 because the cell processor is very difficult for programmers to get a handle on how to really get the most out of it. In all honesty, it will be a year from launch before you see games that will actually take and push the Cell processor to its limits.
Okay.
It'll be at least a year. And there are going to be a lot of development companies that aren't going to make it that long. You know, one of the things that I wrote about last week was Clover Studios. Are you familiar with the game Beautiful Joe?
Yes. They made a second one not too long ago.
Yeah, and they made one for the DS, and they made one for the PlayStation Portable. And I'm sure you've heard of a game called Okami.
Yes.
Okay. And I know you've heard me mention the game God Hand.
Yes, you have.
Okay, God Hand came out on the 10th of October. It was a disappointment by all the critics that were hyping it up because the game basically pokes fun at itself for being a brawler and that kind of stuff. And it's just a solid brawler. It's nothing spectacular. Well, the Beautiful Joe games didn't do spectacular sales. They reached their niche, but they didn't do spectacular sales. Neither did Okami, even though Okami is one of the most stylish and gorgeous video games that I've played. It sold okay. It didn't do blockbuster sales. Capcom has decided to liquidate their subsidiary, Clover Studios, which created all of those games.
Really?
Yeah. Excuse me. I was kind of sad about this because you know how I feel about creativity.
Okay? Yes.
Most of the games that I really enjoy that are in my collection are the games that are a little bit off the wall. They're a little odd. They're not the flagship games.
Okay. I'm good. Never mind. But yes.
But, you know, so I've got games like Mad Maestro, Mr. Mosquito, Amplitude, Frequency, Ico, which, if you haven't played Ico, do not call yourself a gamer. Period.
Okay.
I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
And so I respect companies that go out of their way to go, we want to make something new, we want to make something interesting, and if it reaches only a small part of the market, that's okay. We just want to do something a little different. I like that. That stuff will always get me plunking down money, not just renting.
Right.
But unfortunately, Capcom has kind of gone, well, but it didn't make the money that we really wanted them to make, and we're just not feeling it, so we're just going to liquidate it. And so Clover Studios is no more. And
wow,
I was really sad about that because I thought, you know, the Beautiful Joe game, if you've ever played it, is fun.
Yeah, it is. You get all slow-mo and bam, 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 bam.
Okay, it's just a fun little action game. But if you pay attention to the detail that you're shown, it's really detailed. And it's very interesting, and the story is just funny at moments, and dorky, and, you know, tongue-in-cheek, and just cute fun. And I've only played the demo of Okami, but it was gorgeous. And I thought, my God, I could play this game for hours, and I actually have it in my GameFly queue, as I said in my article, and it should be, hopefully, the next game that comes in after I finish the game that I have now. And I just was so sad because I think this goes back to that short-sightedness. I think that this is short-sighted on Capcom's part. You've got to give people time to find out about your little-known games and play them and come to love them. And you'll find an audience that will niche, that will come back and buy these titles over and over again. Okay. Like Dynasty Warriors. Mm-hmm. They haven't done anything innovative.
Keep hyping about.
They haven't done anything innovative in that series since the first one. It's a mash-em-up. You have one basic attack on one button. You have a charged attack on another button. And you've got thousands of enemies that pretty much just show up on the screen and stand there and wait for you to hit them. It's just hack and slash. Okay? It's a dumb hack and slash. But they've done, like, 6 Dynasty Warrior games, 2 Samurai Warriors games, and I don't even know how many Dynasty Tactics things they have floating around there. So they've got to be hitting on some kind of nerve that they can keep putting out these titles and keep selling out. And it's because there's a big group of gamers who sometimes really just like to turn on a game and have some mind-numbing, simple fun.
Mash 'em up. Mash 'em up.
Exactly. And I think that Capcom is going to come to the realization that they've made a mistake here very shortly, because the rumor is that the guys who made up Clover Studio are going to start their own company.
Oh,
and
wow.
I hope they do, because I really want creative games. Because that's what's going to be what sells these systems, these next-gen systems. Because we're all at the point of, okay, yeah, we know, it looks good, you can push more polygons on the screen, fantastic, whoop-de-fucking-do. Okay, I know, it looks better. Now what? What's behind the pretty-looking that's going to make me want to pony up $60 and $70 to play this game over and over again? And it's going to be the creative elements. It's going to be the new stuff. The stuff we haven't seen before. The stuff we haven't thought of before. The things that we didn't think could be a fun game that turn out because of this studio's implementation of graphics and environment noise make it a game that, oh my god, I absolutely have to fucking play.
Right.
I think that's what's going to be. And I think that getting rid of the studios that bring that just because initially they're only finding that small audience is short-sighted and stupid. So that's my beef with Capcom. I have a little bit of a beef with Capcom right now.
I can see.
Just a little bit.
I can hear it.
You know, because I hate seeing creativity being sacrificed because bottom lines aren't being met. I think that's sad. I really do. And I you know, at a time in the industry when we need more creativity, we need fresh ideas and fresh games. You know, Madden is still Madden, okay? It's a football game. And even though you change the rosters and you make some better graphics, it's still a football game. There's nothing fresh there. The only fresh angle is going to be if you play it on the Wii, because you're going to have to use the Wiimote to kick and to assign who you're going to throw to and things like that. But that's the only fresh angle that's been brought on this, on the genre. So you need creativity to make the games that people are going to want to shell out for over the next couple of years. So I hope that the Clover Studios people get together and they make their own development company and keep turning out some very creative games. Because we need them. But with that, I'm going to return the mic of 1,000 truths to its resting place. And say that this podcast is toast.
This podcast does seem to be kind of toasty.
Yeah. So what are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to step on it.
You shouldn't abuse your toast. Why are you stepping on your toast?
I don't want to eat it. And I'm going to step on it. I'm being impulsive.
Feed it to the dog or something. Don't just step on the toast. You know, there are starving children in Africa that would like to eat that toast.
All right, then, you want me to ship it to Africa?
Yeah, you can donate it. It's always good to donate. Help your fellow man.
Okay, I'll ship it to Africa.
Okay.
I won't step on it.
That's good. That's
what are you going to do with yours?
I'm going to eat it, because I haven't eaten anything all day, and I'm hungry as fuck.
Go ahead, then, eat it.
So, I'm going to probably make me a toasted peanut butter sandwich, because I'm as hungry as shit, and I need to eat. Like, no joke.
All right, go eat.
So, in any case, keep hitting us up on the website, www.electricsisterhood.com or esh.mobi.
Mobi!
esh.mobi. You can get all the news that you need from the sisters that you love, because we love you too.
I know, I love you.
Yes, we do. I love you too. I love you long time. No. on the website, you can leave us a comment, question, or enter our weekly Candy Bitch sweepstakes by clicking on the Hit Us Up link on the website. All fields are required, so do yourself a favor, put in your email address, whatever name you want us to identify you by, and your comment, question, quote, or whatever. If you just want to say hi, you can do that too.
Yeah, you can do that.
We like getting that kind of stuff too.
Yes, we do.
Or if you want to leave us a voicemail message, you can call us at 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
And it's free love for us.
And we appreciate the free love because we're both broke as shit.
Hell yeah.
I have no money. It's so not fun. So if anybody's out there listening and they want to sponsor us, we'd love to talk to you.
Yes, we would.
In any case, as always, I am Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
And we're out.